And greetings, happy Wednesday. Welcome to the Steve Dace Show here live and on demand on Blaze TV, radio, and podcast. I am Steve Dace with Todd Erzin and Aaron McIntyre. Coming up on the show here today, the weekly prophet of woe and lamentation, Daniel Horowitz, will be joining us. We'll play buy, sell, or hold here at the bottom of the hour. Don't forget about our friends over at Miracle Made Sheets. Did you know that your temperature at night can have one of the greatest impacts on your sleep quality? If you wake up too hot or too cold, I highly recommend you check out our friends over at Miracle Made. Inspired by NASA, Miracle Made uses silver-infused fabrics and makes temperature-regulating bedding so you can sleep at the perfect temperature all night long. These things, because I am hot-blooded, and these things have been a tremendous addition over the course of the summer for me. Self-cooling properties for a better quality sleep. They also are self-cleaning. That same silver helps to prevent up to 99.7% of bacterial growth that other store-bought sheets absorb. So they stay cleaner and fresher longer. So you might be like, all right, listen, they regulate temperature. They get rid of bacteria. Great. I could wrap myself in aluminum foil and probably accomplish the same thing. But that wouldn't be comfortable. Agreed. They're also, let's not bury the lead here, extremely comfortable. All right. This time of year, too, as it gets cooler at night, open the windows, get that cool air in, and you get that snuggle sleep this time of year that I like so much. They're absolutely perfect for it. That's trymiracle.com/dace to get your sheets today. Trymiracle.com/dace. And if you order from there, you save over 40%. Just by going to that website. But if you use the promo at Dace at checkout, you'll get 3 free towels and save an extra 20%. You can't beat this deal. All right, so 40% if you go to trymiracle.com/Dace, 40% off, another 20% off plus 3 free towels if you put in the promo code Dace at checkout at trymiracle.com/Dace. And with that, let's get to it. Here is Aaron's rundown of what happened while we were away.
What happened while we were away, brought to you by Following Your Heart. Donald Trump, sensing the immense amount of heat he's taking from his pro-life base, got on Truth Social yesterday and said, "We need to follow our heart when it comes to baby killing." That's after knocking the heartbeat bills as terrible. Quote, "I was able to do something that nobody thought was possible," and Roe v. Wade. "For 52 years, people talked, spent vast amounts of money, but couldn't get the job done. I got the job done, thanks to 3 great Supreme Court justices I appointed. The issue has been returned to the states, where all legal scholars on both sides felt it should be. Now the pro-life community has tremendous negotiating power, like Ronald Reagan before me. I believe in 3 exceptions for rape, incest, and the life of the mother. Without the exceptions, it's very difficult to win elections. We would probably lose the majorities in 2024 and perhaps the presidency itself. But you must follow your heart. In order to win in 2024, Republicans must learn how to talk about abortion. This issue cost us unnecessarily, but dearly in the midterms." So that's effectively a doubling down. Dilute your message on baby killing or lose elections. Again, yikes. Meanwhile, we're learning Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has suspended yet another official in the state of Florida. Late last week, DeSantis signed an executive order suspending Miami City Commissioner Alex Diaz de la Portilla. Following his Thursday arrest of charges of corruption, including money laundering and bribery, that suspension is effective immediately. De La Portilla is the latest suspension handed down from DeSantis following the suspensions of a couple of corrupt Soros prosecutors earlier this year. Fox News National nixed an advertisement from pro-DeSantis super PAC Never Back Down because it contained an image of Governor DeSantis during his deployment to Iraq, where he was holding a rifle. Never Back Down had to swap out the image with a more sanitized portrait of DeSantis. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky was also at the United Nations yesterday, where he lectured us about global warming.
"Even though humanity is failing on its climate policy objectives, this means that extreme weather will still impact the normal global life, and some evil state will also weaponize its outcomes."
In Washington, D.C., Florida Congressman Byron Donald says there's no money in the House for Ukraine.
"The first thing I'll tell you is there's no money in the House right now for Ukraine. There's just not, it's not there.
There's no support for money?
No. And to be blunt, we're running a $2 trillion deficit. Any money we give to Ukraine, we're borrowing from our future.
Mike Pence, your thoughts? Quote, the isolationist Republicans say that America should retreat from her leadership position, turn inward, and focus solely on domestic concerns. Anyone who says that America cannot solve our problems at home and be the leader of the free world has a pretty small view of the greatest nation on earth, end quote. In completely unrelated news, an illegal immigrant from Peru who was charged with murder in connection to a homicide in Eagle Pass, Texas yesterday, was first caught by Border Patrol crossing illegally into Eagle Pass in May and was released into the U.S. with a court date for 2025. According to Fox News' Bill Malugin, 64-year-old Roberto Emilio Vasquez Santamaria was arrested by the Maverick County, Texas Sheriff's Office yesterday. Customs and Border Patrol sources told Fox News after crossing illegally in May, he was processed for a notice to appear with a court date in 2025, then was transferred to Immigration and Customs Enforcement, who released him to a non-government organization in Eagle Pass, where he later allegedly committed murder. According to financial disclosures obtained by Fox News, former National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases director Anthony Fauci and his wife had a combined net worth that exceeded $11 million when he departed his government post. The documents show that Fauci and his wife were up nearly $2 million since before the pandemic, but experienced a net worth dip from 2021 to 2022. And now, do you want to get really depressed? Like, really depressed? Listen to this from Tom Elliott at Grabian Media, who did some research. Quote, fun fact, if in 2024 the federal government fired its entire 24 million person workforce and shut down entirely, the federal government would still run a deficit. 2024 projections per the Congressional Budget Office, entitlements are at $4.1 trillion, interest on the debt is at $1 trillion, and total revenue is only $4.8 trillion. What do you do with that? And finally, for the second day in the row, we get to hear from the venerable vegetable of the Keystone State. Here's John Fetterman's rousing speech to the union workers protesting and picketing in Michigan.
My message to the CEOs is, you know, at $74 million, you know, collectively earning that, you know, how many yachts can they need, you know, to water ski behind it? You know, I mean, it's just crazy. You know, I don't.
And that's what happened while we were away.
Just a demonic laugh track at this point. Just a demonic laugh track. Highs, lows, soaring spirits and gut punches. The stock market's volatility has been a good reminder of why we diversify our portfolios. New data shows private assets like fine art can be especially valuable when looking for low correlation. That's why Aaron's Montage is brought to you by our friends over at Masterworks. Every painting Masterworks has sold to date has delivered a positive return to their investors, including net annualized returns of 10, 17, and even 35% all this year. Naturally, past performance is not a guarantee of future returns, and any investing involves risk, including loss of principal. However, Masterworks' 15th exit, a Cecily Brown piece, was just a couple of weeks ago. So it was for an annualized net return of 77%. Now, audiences like you, you can get special access to skip the wait list. Just go to masterworks.art/thestevedayshow. Make sure the is in there. Masterworks.art/thestevedayshow. Masterworks.art/thestevedayshow and see important disclosures when you go to masterworks.com/CD. Masterworks.com/CD. Okay.
Guess we got to talk about the end of Western civilization.
Let's pretend like it's 2009 again. I
told you this was one of the more depressing montages I'd made in quite some time.
This is, you know...
Did it live up to your low expectations?
Actually, I expected worse based on your commentary. I did. Yeah. I expected worse.
Yeah. That's encouraging.
Or it shows how far we've gone down the rabbit hole. Can I just comment on this for just a moment? Zelensky coming here to the UN to pimp for more money. And doing so by genuflecting to the global warming cult.
Going to tell us to get our boosters next.
Exactly. If that doesn't explain why we should have no interest in this and not care, that's perfect. When I have been telling you this is a World Economic Forum / George Soros, they're the same team. Ukraine was Soros's playground. This is a World Economic Forum / Soros versus Putin, Habsburg dynasty, urination contest. We have no interest in that. None. My life is not any better or worse. If Klaus Schwab and George Soros control the Balkans, or Vladimir Putin does. And I can't believe I have to say this out loud. But I do.
Well, that's an evergreen, though, Steve. So.
Yeah, true. That just shows you what the agenda is here. In order to raise money for his war effort, he has to genuflect to their agenda. Because his war effort is their agenda. That's why. It's the same agenda, folks. It is the same agenda. They're on the same side. Now, I know in this, we're living in an era where we want to ignore the binary things that God set into practice and revealed and create binary choices where none exist. And so the automatic assumption will be, based on what I just said, that Vladimir Putin is the good guy. That's not the case. We live in a world that's bad. All creation groans with sin. There will not always be good choices. Sometimes the choices are going to suck. And so the only choice is to not participate. The only way to win the game is not to play, as they said in war games. The only thing to do is to free the abomination of desolation, as the word says. There's no win here. This is forsaken ground. Abandon hope, all ye who enter. Sometimes it's just the Philistines versus the Edomites or the Moabites. Sometimes it's just the pagans versus the pagans, and we have no rooting interest. This is one of those times. I am sorry to what's happened to the people of Ukraine who did not ask for this and were displaced from their homes by the fiend in Moscow. But I have no idea why their suffering requires more, such a sacrifice from me, when plenty of Christians have been displaced from their homes all throughout the Southern Hemisphere for the last 30 years by revolutionaries and Marxists every single day. And we're not asked to take on 50% higher inflation over that. We're not asked to defend their borders more than our own. What is so unique about this one place of suffering? Because it's their agenda. They don't care about the suffering of the Ukrainian people. They care about their agenda. And Zelensky going there to bill collect, to pass the plate, and doing so, this is their church. They passed the plate. They took up a tithe, and he recited the creed. That's what he did. It's the same agenda, and it's godless. We have no stake here. I don't care. And I promise you, over my dead body, and I mean it literally, you will come in my home and you will kill me to get my son to die for your proxy war over there. Never happening. Never. You will have to kill me. And I mean it. So once and for all, let's dispense with any notion that anybody cares about the Ukrainian people or any form of some higher conflict is taking place here. We've got four Republican senators, three of them, Tom Cotton from Arkansas, Lindsey Graham, South Carolina, Roger Wicker from Mississippi, alleged red states, begging the Bidens or whoever's pulling their strings to give now advanced missile technology to the Ukrainians. No, they don't care about the Ukrainians. This is about their agenda. And I don't give a runny turd with corns in it who controls the Balkans if the choices are the fiend in Moscow or the fiends in the World Economic Forum. And neither should you. Who cares? Who cares if the flag is flown from Davos or Moscow? Not I, said the fly. Not me. Nevermore, quoth the raven. No, I don't care. And you're taking nobody with my DNA to die in that. And over my dead body, literally. you'll have to kill me. Speaking of killing, now we go back and do the show I had to do every day a decade and a half ago. Except this time it's even dumber. I mean, this time it's just even dumber. The guy who overturned Roe versus Wade, I truly don't understand this. I mean, I don't, really. It just doesn't make any sense. The guy that overturned Roe versus Wade believes he is going to craft some position that will make people who vote on abortion not despise him. I mean, this is the equivalent of Sherman. Well, you know, I'm running for office in Georgia, and I just burnt Atlanta to the ground. How do I craft a message that the people who had to flee Atlanta because of the fire I started and defeating that enemy? How can I craft it? You can't. Don't run for office in Georgia. Your name's Sherman. For goodness sakes, idiot. You can't. There is no nuance. This makes no sense. The only thing that makes sense, it makes just no political sense at all. There is no moderate abortion voter. There are moderates on abortion who vote, but they don't vote on abortion. If you are voting on abortion, you were either Steve Dace or Planned Parenthood. Those are the only two people that vote on abortion. Those kinds of people. No one else is voting on abortion. You're either very pro-life or very pro-death. Now he's got people in our industry who have endorsed him, ripping him. I don't understand this. It doesn't make any sense. And the only thing that would make sense is like he personally just wants abortions to be legal still. Because politically, this is a loser. It's not winning him anything. Nothing. What he is saying is untrue. He did this after the election. We did not lose the midterm elections because of abortion. I'll break these numbers down for you again. He's getting bad information or he's lying to you. And I'm not down there hanging out with Laura Loomer and Roger Stone. So I don't know the answer to that. Flip of a coin. It's one or the other. Yeah, a bunch of single women who like to kill their kids came out and voted against us. Guess what single women do in every single election?
That
vote against us, guys. They vote against us. That's what they do in every single election. Trying to figure out how to get fewer single women to come out and vote against us would be like Democrats trying to figure out, well, you know, is there a message we can craft that fewer white evangelicals will come out and vote against us? No, they know that there isn't one. So guess what? They don't ever try to do that. They don't even care. They don't worry about that because they know there's nothing they can do. So their job is to turn out their base in order to counter our base. Our people turned out in droves. Their people turned out in droves. Is it true that their base was demoralized before Roe v. Wade was overturned? That portion of their base was, for sure. It did fire up their base. But why do Democrats every election go to single women and say Republicans are going to take abortion away? And why do they go to seniors every election your entire lifetime and say they're going to take Social Security away? Why do you think they do that? Because it doesn't work every single election. Your job is to counter those turnouts with the turnout of your own. Republicans in D.C. on purpose ran for no message at all. Remember when Rick Scott, at Trump's direction, to Trump's credit, Rick Scott actually tried to come up with some kind of like contract with America, a bunch of issues we all agree with, but they're 30 years old now. Remember this? Mm-hmm. And McConnell and the Republicans in Washington said, no, we're not doing any of that. We're running on no agenda at all. The Democrats are so unpopular, we just have to sit here and we'll win. Is that what happened, though?
No.
No. So Republicans in D.C. had no message. And independents do not like Trump and his brand. This is the third election in a row now with Trump and his brand as the face of the Republican Party that Republicans have lost. Now, the gap was closer this time. It was only a few points. But when you lost a bunch of these races by just a few points, Kerry Lake, Blake Masters, a bunch of these elections by just a few points, those few points of independence you lost were the few points you needed. This wasn't a base problem on either side. Republicans can't win independents. Independents have lost confidence in governing class Republicans in D.C. They don't like them. They despise Mitch McConnell. And they don't care much more for Kevin McCarthy, frankly. And they don't like Donald Trump. We've lost independents 3 elections in a row. That's why we've lost. It's what he's saying is just not true. It's not any more true, really. It's not really any different than Merrick Garland claiming today there is no two-tiered system of justice. See that he testified to that today?
Yes.
Yeah. Just said that with a straight face. That spaghetti is uranium. Giving kids heroin will help them become well-adjusted adults. Eating dessert for every meal loses weight. I tried that. I got to be 400 pounds.
The lie is the point.
The lie is the point. Now, I don't know if that's his point or not. You have to understand with Trump, you can't give him I know this for a fact. You can't give him information that doesn't tell him what he wants to hear. You're out of there. So it is entirely possible you're dealing with an 80-year-old Peter Pan. No accountability, no responsibility. He can't be told any information counter to his own personal narrative. You're dealing with a man-child. So it's entirely possible he just doesn't know. And because he surrounded himself with Laura Loomer, Roger Stone types, they're just jerking his chain and telling him what he wants to hear. But what he is saying is factually not true. It's not a difference of analysis. It's not a difference of opinion. It's just gaslighting you. Now, Merrick Garland is doing it on purpose. I don't know if Trump is. Here's what I do know. When you go from I'm going to appoint the justices who overturn Roe to calling terrible the legislation that allowed Roe to be overturned, you're just not the same guy. That's not the same guy. That is not the same Trump from 2016. Trust me, I ran against him. Got my ass kicked. Pretty well versed in 2016 Donald Trump. Saw that one up close and personal. Took that punch to the face daily. Know what that's like. Not the same guy. This guy we would have beaten. This is New York values. All the stuff we said about Trump in 2016, New York values and everything else we trotted out that didn't work, is actually all you're seeing right now. That is not the same guy. It's just not the same guy. I don't know what happened, you know? But that's not the same guy. And then to turn around and to blame your brand's failures on your own base, now you're gaslighting them. As Aaron said, that's abusive. That's, you know, that's when your dad, after he wails on you, comes back and says, I'm really sorry that I did that. But if you had not said that to me and triggered me, it would have never happened. I know what that looks like, too, because I lived through that, too. Yeah, I know what that is, too. That is the statement he put out yesterday. I'm sorry you're mad about what I said, but you have to understand you're really to blame for this, like I told you all along. What he's advocating, by the way, over 90% of all abortions happen in the first 15 weeks. So what he's really advocating is that over 90% of abortions remain legal in America. And the whole exception thing's a straw man. On one hand, if you put those exceptions in, then any woman can just go in and claim I was raped and they'll abort her kid right away. On the other hand, can you find me a Republican in the United States of America running for office on getting rid of the rape and incest exceptions? Give me a name. Go.
You know what I think about
this. There isn't one. He's complaining about a problem that doesn't exist. No one. Now, I would. That's what I believe. As someone who has a family where I can name rape and incest exceptions, people I know and love. You're darn right. I don't believe in exceptions to murder. But am I running for office right now?
No.
So who is the Republican running for office right now that is demanding we take those exceptions out? Who is it?
The Donald.
No one. He's the only one talking about these exceptions. This is a straw man. It's not even a problem. Now, it should be. It should be. But it's not. No one is demanding zero exceptions abortions. No one is. I have no idea what he's talking about, and neither does he. I have never, ever in my life seen someone run for office on trashing their greatest accomplishment of their previous term. I've never seen anything like this. stuff is biblical, man. This is King Saul level stuff where the ego just so overtakes you at the core of who you are that you're just not the same guy you used to be. You're just not. You always had a healthy ego. You always had a tinge of, if not more, than a morsel of narcissism. But those things could have driven you also to great accomplishments. But after a while, man, if they're not put into check and everyone around you is a chain jerker and a sycophant and it's just a feedback loop of id, eventually you get swallowed up. That's the story of King Saul. And you're watching that play out with Donald Trump. He's just not the same guy. The Donald Trump of 2016, if he stepped in something and got pushback, would have immediately stepped back. The Donald Trump of 2024? No, you guys have it wrong. I'm right. You're all wrong. Oh, and the jab is glorious and not a poison. He's just not the same guy. We would have beaten this guy. The guy we ran against in 2016 was a hell of a lot smarter and more clever than this. Cared about his base more than this, or at least thought that he had to pretend to. This is not the same guy. Or it's the guy he's always been, but now he just feels like he can just, you know, like the other side. Well, we got enough power now. We can just tell you the truth of where we're really coming from. I don't know the answer to that. I'm not down there in the dimly lit halls of Mar-a-Lago making grainy videos. So I don't know what goes on. I don't know what love notes he and Laura Loomer are passing back and forth to each other. I don't know. But this messaging is a disaster. It's a disaster in a primary. It's even more of a disaster in a general election. He is opening himself up to a line of conversation and debate where, as in a general election, guys, he's going to have to argue with his own base and their base at the same time. At the same time. There are Christian conservative leaders. I won't name them. I should, but I won't. Who have half a testicle. I've tried to work with before. And they can deliver nothing. And they have no courage of conviction at all. Just complete seat at the table grovelers. They're out criticizing Trump right now. That's how bad it is. This is a loser. This messaging will lose us the next election on abortion. It will. Because you'll get the worst of both worlds. There is no amount of groveling you can do that the other side will say, you know, I've got a strange new respect for you on this issue. Nope. If Donald Trump offered them the compromise, we'll ban all abortions except those as a result of rape and incest. Would they take it, Todd?
No.
Then why are we even having this debate? So instead, you end up, name the Republican who wins a presidential election arguing with their own base all the way to Election Day. Ask President McCain how that worked. President Romney tried it. How was his? What did you think of the Romney administration, Todd? What'd you think? Did that work itself out?
Nothing but delicious chicken sandwiches.
Indeed.
Steve.
Yeah, just binders full of victories everywhere in that administration. Indeed. You don't win by arguing with your own base all the way to Election Day. You don't. And so he's going to take his biggest win, the issue that is of the utmost importance of the last 50 years of right of center politics, and he's going to choose now to fight with his own base over it. It doesn't make any sense. But that's not the same guy. It's just not. Not the same guy you voted for in 2016. Not the same guy. Maybe this is what his core has always been. Don't know him enough to know. But as a candidate, that's not the same guy. As a candidate, he would not have stepped on rakes like this. As a candidate, he wouldn't be attacking his own people from the left. Not in 2016, but that's what he's doing now. Because that's just not the same guy. You know, everyone deals with pain from time to time. Now, there's two reasons for that. Clinical, which means you need medical attention, or chronic. And that is usually from too much inflammation in the body. And thankfully, there is an all-natural anti-inflammatory drug-free that was still created by physicians who can prescribe drugs. Why did they want to do it this way? Because if you can medicate and heal the body without taxing other organs and systems in the process, as a trade-off, take advantage of it. Now, you know, our bodies aren't meant to last forever. We live in a sinful world. So there's not always that opportunity. And so when that happens, get the medical care that you need. But when that possibility exists, take full advantage of it. We're about 70% confident that Relief Factor is that product for you. If you've got the lingering, achy, soreness, stiffness, pain that just won't go away, that's too much inflammation. Why did I say about 70%? Because about 70% of the people who try the 3-week quick start for just $20 see such great results in those 3 weeks alone that they stick around long term. So what do you have to lose? Try it for 3 weeks for just $20 and see if you don't see a difference in your pain level in 3 weeks or left, 3 weeks or less. When you go to relieffactor.com, that's relieffactor.com, or call 800 the number 4-RELIEF, 800-4-RELIEF, 800-4-RELIEF, or go to relieffactor.com. All right, gentlemen, I said a lot there, and I want to make sure I give you guys a chance to respond to how I opened up the show before we switch over to buy, sell, or hold. So the floor is now yours.
I loved... You know, we've talked on and off air about how to communicate the same message through the right wavelength, the one that breaks through the noise. It's kind of like, remember the movie Contact, you know, where it's coming across as something they don't understand, but finally you hit the right wavelength and you see what it is. And that's really challenging in this modern day world. But I think you did it there in a way. You aren't saying anything new. You said, I mean, how'd you start out that conversation? Let's go back to 2009.
I had so all these arguments with the yes, with the McCain establishment, but, with the Romney establishment, with the Reince-Priebus establishment. Now we're going to have this argument with the MAGA establishment. None of this is true. These are the same distortions and in either errors or flat-out lies that the previous iterations of the GOP power base attempted. Mitch McConnell has said all the same things about abortion politics that Donald Trump is saying now. There's no difference at all. Just in the person communicating them. And it's not true. It's just not true. All the Republican candidates who had strong pro-life resumes won, or strong pro-life messages. Reagan, George W. Bush, Trump, I'm going to overturn Roe versus Wade. All of them won. All of the ones who didn't lost. Why? The one group that you have to win in every election since Roe v. Wade, Catholics have been on the winning side of every single election except one, and that was the first time, Todd, in over 100 years somebody won a popular vote and lost the election in 2000. That's the only one, and it was like a one-point difference between Gore and Bush. It was basically a tie. Catholics have been on the winning side of every presidential election but one since Roe v. Wade. If you follow Catholic social teaching, and you'll back me up on this, when we get outside of things and dealing with sexual ethics and life, frankly, a lot of that messaging is going to align in some places with a lot more of what Democrats are saying about issues like healthcare and economics. Fair?
Yeah, that's generally fair.
And so if you don't have a Republican with a strong pro-life resume or record, you don't win Catholic voters. They vote Democratic. That's why the ones who had a strong pro-life message or a strong pro-life record won. And the ones who didn't, Romney, McCain, etc., lost. What he's saying is simply not true. It's never been true. It's not true now. It's not true. So what we don't know is if he's lying on purpose, or if he's just being fed a load of bunk from whoever it is that he's listening to right now. But whatever the result is, what he is saying about abortion isn't any more true than what Merrick Garland said this morning about we don't have a two-tier justice system.
Well, so it makes it vexing on this issue, but on other issues as well, to get through that noise. Because Trump, not only on this issue, but on other issues, only he can solve. He's the guy that will drain the swamp when he objectively clearly didn't do those things. But people are caught in that trap. And actually, the messaging on that is we're not talking about the same person. I'm thinking while you're talking, I was like, this is worth a shot. This is absolutely worth a shot because it doesn't. People psychologically and emotionally just don't want to throw the man under the bus that they think exposed a lot of rot. Understandable, because we agree with that. But psychologically and emotionally, they're captured, and they need a way to figure out that what's going on right now is what you said. It's a loss. Does that matter to you or not? Because it is what it is. This guy is a loss. No matter what wins, real or imagined, you think in the past, this isn't it.
For months now, Never Back Down, the super PAC for DeSantis, has been releasing some ads that end with "What happened to Donald Trump?" Now, that's a fairly typical campaign talking point. What happened to fill-in-the-blank candidate? So people kind of tune out. I think with "this is not the same guy," one, on some level, kind of that psychological level that Todd is talking about, there's almost a sympathetic bent to putting it that way. Like, we know what Donald Trump is or what he represented, but he's not the same guy that he was. It's okay to admit this. It's okay to say, you know what, something has changed and it's not me. So I think that's a pretty effective, I guess, moniker, a pretty effective jab without actually getting down into the muck and mire of what you see on X, Twitter every single day. I don't know. Maybe you should do this for a living.
I will tell you, man, we had meetings on the Cruz campaign, top level strategy meetings before debates and campaign events, thinking probably given his background and all the times he spent, you know, around left wingers in Hollywood and being in left wing New York his entire life, thinking this is probably who Trump was. But we could never set a trap to get him to actually say stuff like this. He only hit us from the right. He only hit from the right that entire primary. Only hit from the right. In fact, remember, that was the election cycle when the David DeLeiden videos came out. It was that summer of 2015 when the David DeLeiden videos came out with the Planned Parenthood people chewing the granola talking about how they're going to auction off baby parts. And Trump was the first Republican presidential campaign candidate to be asked about it. And his initial knee-jerk reaction, it was in a live interview. I will never forget. Guys, I've got the sleepless nights. I've got the PTSD. I remember this campaign like I remember the birth of my children. I'll never forget it. And I'm watching this. He's doing a live interview. And his initial instinctive reaction, no handlers, no advisors, no Twitter, no Truth Social. He's live on the air and he's asked about these videos. And he says, if those videos are confirmed, Planned Parenthood ought to be defunded. Shouldn't get a dime of government money. He was the first presidential candidate to say this. I believe it was in September of 2015. I'm actually starting to even remember the Breitbart articles about it. And we would just look at each other. Did it to us again. He did it to us again. He got to the right of us on every issue. He's not even trying now. Doesn't know what a woman is. Doesn't know if a man can become a woman. And hey, let's go there. We have done deep dives on three candidates so far in this race, right?
Yes.
Trump, DeSantis, and RFK Jr.
Yes.
Okay. If both Trump and RFK Jr. are going to allow over 90% of abortions to remain legalized, and RFK is actually the one that is willing to meaningfully push back on Big Pharma
and the deep state
and the deep state, because Trump had his chance and didn't really push back on them at all. Okay. Tell me who's more pro-life at this today, right today. Now, I can't even, if you would have come back and told me in February or March, I would even ask this question at any point in this campaign. That was just a few months ago. I'd have told you were nuts. Okay. But mark the tape. It's September 20th, 2023. If RFK Jr. and Donald Trump are both okay with allowing over 90% of American abortions to remain legal, and one guy is willing to actually do something meaningful about what the second greatest killer in our culture is right now, Big Pharma and the jab, and the other guy is a pimp for it, tell me who's more pro-life, Donald Trump or RFK Jr.?
Well, RFK did the opposite when confronted with this after. He said basically Roe v. Wade has now been decided one way, and then he ran away. He didn't try to, like, massage. He just said the states are going to do your thing. He's been more neutral on this in a way that people like us can accept as somehow reasonable, strategically in this time and place, like you've said, forget the what we believe morally, but than Donald Trump has. That's, I don't think that's even in question.
Aaron, how would you answer that? Who's pro-life today? Based on where they both stand on abortion and Big Pharma and Ukraine, which would be an extension of like unnecessary, unjust war, right?
Yep.
Who's more pro-life today? I think it's a debatable point, actually. What do you think? I don't know.
Yeah, it is a debatable point. I mean, until I would just say, based on these comments, it's a terrible thing to do a 6-week baby killing ban. And his unrepentance on the jab and his pimping of the jab. Donald Trump's got some questions to answer. We'll just put it that way. Because I'm not... If you were just comparing, the blind resume comparisons that we do for NFL coaches, if you would just put these together in a vacuum, take away the names, I agree, that's a debatable point. Is that a good thing?
No, it is not a good thing. Who made this a debatable point?
Him, that's my
point.
He did
it. Trump did this.
Yes.
We would not have even contemplated debating this 3-4 months ago. We wouldn't have actually maybe contemplated debating it 3 or 4 freaking weeks ago.
That was Bobby Kennedy's point when he just said, I think we need to go to our corners for a while, take a deep breath, figure out what the... I mean, really, he tried to de-escalate instead of this.
I just truly don't understand it. I don't. And when I say I don't understand it, I mean, it's not typically, you know, I've over the years said I don't understand what Trump means or does with this, that really just means I just have a different worldview than he does at the core.
And he's a weird dude.
He's eclectic, and we all have our quirks, and I have different ones, and I'm not independently well. I've not lived his life. He's walked a path I don't understand. That in this case, this just makes. This is he is asserting the equivalent of spaghetti as uranium. This is no different than what Merrick Garland said an hour ago, that there's no two-tier justice system. What he is asserting is every bit as true as what Merrick Garland said. Now, what we don't know, I mean, Merrick Garland's up there lying to us on purpose. What we don't know is what his motivations are. We don't know the answer to that. It is entirely possible, given how Trump has gone through pollsters, you know, like the border goes through fentanyl. It is entirely possible that the people that do the data and stuff around him just know they can't tell him the truth. And so they've crafted this narrative for him to explain why the 2022 election was underwhelming and most of his candidates lost. Because the other narrative won't be good. People basically, the independents basically hate you and Mitch McConnell the same. That's not to say you're not the same guy. That's not to say you're the same guy. Maybe for different reasons. For McConnell, it is just another corruptocrat guy, just will die in office and never leave us alone and haunt us from the grave. For Trump, it might be, I'm just tired of his antics and he's exhausting. I'm not drawing a moral equivalency or a political equivalency, maybe is a better way of putting it, between Trump and McConnell. I'm saying they are equivalent figures in terms of dislike of independent voters. And you can show me all the Harvard-Harris polls. I'm looking at the polls that have mattered, you know, when we start counting games. It's a little bit like, let's ignore the results of the games and talk about what the point spread said was supposed to happen. No, dude, we don't do wins and losses based on what the point spread told us. We do wins and losses based on the games. And when you look at the actual games, we have lost independents 3 elections in a row. Now, this one was close. We didn't lose them by that many points. I think like 3 points. But how many think Carrie Lake would have liked 3 more points?
Yeah.
Think Blake Masters would have liked 3 more points. How many people would have liked 3 more points in this last election cycle? A lot of people would. And so my guess is there's not a long term employment venture at Mar-a-Lago walking into Trump's penthouse there and telling him that. So you tell him something else. The pro-lifers pushed you too far. Those Christians don't realize just how glorious you are and asked too much of you. And you gave them more than you should have. And as a result, we lost this last. Now, that'll get you through the front door of Mar-a-Lago. Hell, he might even show you a top secret map of Iran if you tell him that. You won't get anywhere, though, telling him the truth, apparently, because this isn't true. He does the stuff now that we tried to get him to do in 2016, and he never took the bait. And got to the right of us on every meaningful issue. That's not the same guy. It's just not. Yeah. I haven't had a personal conversation with Donald Trump in 8 years. So, can't tell you much about him on a personal level at all. Who he is at his core, I don't know the answer to that. But politically, when I say that's not the same guy, I'm just talking politically. Politically, that's not the same guy. That's not the same guy that was dropping terms like anchor babies on debate stages in front of 30 million people. Not the same guy. These are arguments that John McCain, Stephen Schmidt on MSNBC, John McCain's campaign manager, these are the kinds of arguments he made when he was running the Republican Party.
That's a yo.
This is Eric Fenstrom, the guy that told us that Mitt Romney was an Etch-a-Sketch, and after the primary is over, you just shake it up and you create a new character. Remember that guy? These are the arguments he was making. Nothing's changed. I did this show. I may have done this show and this topic more than any topic or show the first, what, decade maybe of my career. We probably had this conversation more than any other. Because it's not true. This is the number one lie they have tried to push on us all this time. And the results tell you the exact opposite. If you are strongly pro-life, you win nationally. If you're not, you don't. Because if you're not, you end up fighting a two-front war all the way to Election Day, both against you're trying to rally your own base and push back against the other. Because while you're trying to win over your own base, the other side is saying you're going to put women in chains and with coat hangers to abort their kids in back alleyways in Vietnam. All right. You can't win. That's been tried. That's why there was no President Romney. There was no President McCain. Doesn't work. The guys who ran strongly pro-life won because their rear flank was shored up. And so they only had to fight one side. This doesn't win. And it won't win next year either if he continues on this road, if he's the nominee. That's not the same guy. In 2016, dude knew how to rally a base. In 2024, he argues with his base and he gaslights his base and he blames his base for his own failures. It's not the same guy. All right, back here with Hour 2, live and on demand on Blaze TV, radio, and podcast. Steve Dace here with Todd Erzin and Aaron McIntyre, and all of you who can let us know what you think about what we think via the SteveDace.com inbox. Take advantage of that by emailing us, steve@stevedace.com. That's D-E-A-C-E. Like us on Facebook, MeWe, and Gab. Follow me at Steve Dace Show on Twitter, Gitter, Instagram, and TikTok. You can also find me on Truth Social at Real Steve Dace there. And again, it's D-E-A-C-E. Thanks to all of you that are part of our growing podcast audience. If you've yet to do this, please leave us a 5-star review. If you like us, of course. If you don't, then go with a 1-star. We're okay with 1 or 5 stars. We don't want like 3 or 4 star. I mean, either all in or all out. That's what we're going for here. 1 or 5-star reviews. Hopefully more 5s than 1s. You can also hit subscribe or follow if you're on iTunes to make sure every one of our new episodes ends up in your feed every time we release one. Thanks to all of you that have done that for us too. Thanks to our friends over at Sweatblock for sponsoring part one. Buy, sell, or hold here on the Steve Dace Show. Sweatblock is a phenomenal product if you are dealing with excessive sweating, or maybe you're going to be out and about in a public or professional setting just on a day that it's incredibly hot and you're worried about how many shirts and everything else am I going to go through. Sweatblock is your solution. Their antiperspirant wipes are great, can last for up to several days in terms of controlling your excessive sweating. And that's the stuff that hits you when you are a lot of times in a high pressure, high adrenaline in, you know, situation or environment, a first date, a big job interview, a public speaking or public singing performance, right? So get the Sweatblock antiperspirant wipes. You can also get their deodorant stick. It packs a wallop. And I love the deodorant lotions as well. Those are phenomenal products that also, they're good on your skin, but they also help you with the sweating in some of the more sensitive areas at the same time. Go to sweatblock.com, use the promo code DACE to get 20% off. Sweatblock.com, promo code DEACE for 20% off, promo code DACE at sweatblock.com. All right, let's get to it. It is time for buy, sell, or hold. Aaron, with help from you, in the audience. We'll throw and suggest to Todd and I a series of your propositions, lists, predictions, etc. Todd, you and I will decide, are we going to buy it or are we going to sell it? If, however, you use your hold at any time, it will be considered a violation of the dude code. You will be called out for punking out. And you will have to follow Lindsey Graham on his next trip to Uranus.
Pass.
Going to pass? Hard pass?
Don't.
I didn't.
Don't
I didn't,
make it weird.
I didn't. That wasn't on purpose, actually. I just realized after I said it what I stepped into. Sorry about that. That's my bad. I'm sorry. My apologies. Uranus was enough.
It was.
Okay. Let's get to it.
That was confusing. Mr. Fergie, I'm trying to do like five different things over here. Not a good idea. And then I joined the conversation right when that went down.
All you heard was Uranus, and you tuned in. Yes.
Mr. Fergie says, January 20th, 1970, New York was the first to bring abortion child sacrifice legislation to America. January 20th, 2020, patient zero of COVID was announced on U.S. soil, 50 years to the exact day. This was not a coincidence, but a sign of judgment from God.
Hmm. Are those dates verified?
I don't know. I haven't.
I will. You know what? I'll sell because I don't know if the dates are completely accurate. But I will sell with this caveat. If they are accurate, that is one hella coincidence, man. That is one hella coincidence if they're accurate. I just don't know that they are.
Well, in the spirit of you have no reason to lie, I hope I'll buy.
I know patient zero is January 20th.
Yeah, that I'm confident he's right about that. The other one, I just, you know, it's before I was born. I don't know on the other one.
Moving on, we will go to James Swick. Trump will end up skipping the third Republican primary debate to give a speech at Planned Parenthood in Florida.
Sell.
I'm going to sell. You cut me deep, Shrek, with that one.
That's one of those things when you're an attorney. You know you're going to get overruled when you say it out loud, but you say it just for, like, to get it out there.
Just have it out in the minds and the ether. Yeah.
I understand.
What would happen, do you think, if the DeSantis campaign started running that Trump was pro-choice? Think that's going too far?
I think, tactically, not a smart play.
No? Okay.
No. Just that, because, again, that Roe v. Wade and it being overturned is one of the top 10 political moments of our political lifetime. So you don't, it's hard to run in the face of that way. I think you need to go take a different tact.
Here is a question I'm going to get asked in my inbox. At what point does Trump so betray us on this issue that he undermines that own accomplishment?
You don't know. I mean, you're talking about magical R stuff now with Trump cult stuff on top of, you have no idea. Yeah. You don't know.
That's probably a different answer for every person, in other words, right? Yeah. Okay. All right, Aaron, next one.
This is data masked. RFK Jr. running as an independent would not impact the outcome of the 2024 election.
Oh, I greatly disagree. Well, you know what? Now I'll buy. I'll buy now. Too late to get ballot access to get to a critical mass of support. If he had run as an independent all along and given himself more time to get enough ballot access to be consequential, then no way. I doubt that's the context of this statement, though. But he's wasted all this time. Well, it's valuable time, I think, for us. You know, like one of the things we wondered, you know, the last few years is where's all the iconoclastic rebellious boomer rockers, right? You know, where's all the hippies at? And so last night there was a fundraiser for RFK Jr. Eric Clapton was there. I think Crosby, Stills, and Nash were there. They raised a few million dollars for RFK Jr. So it's his him running as a Democrat has been useful for us in showing us just how few liberals are really left.
Mm-hmm.
OK, Woody Harrelson, you know, the people we used to debate with in the 80s and 90s and now almost seem like they would make good neighbors. OK, compared to what we're up against now. Right. Right. So that's been useful in showing us that the reality is the Democratic Party is not interested in being a party of justice for the disadvantaged, which was its core messaging for, you know, basically from the Great Society until 20, until Obama, basically, that was its messaging. That was its core branding. It's a hard left party. It's a Marxist or at least a neo-Marxist party. Many elements of it are a demonic construct. And all it really cares about now is will to power. And so he's exposing that. I guess there's some benefit to us on the right for that. It would have been a far greater benefit to America, I think, though, if he had run as an independent all along.
Yeah, I'll buy it. I think I'll buy it. I wish he's a, I don't know how much he's exposing in any way that matters. There's just too many people who just don't know what the hell's going on, and they're fine with that. They just, they've got this existential Biden v. Trump in their head, and that's it, and nothing can else can break through.
What if he had run from as an independent from the beginning?
I don't, who's gonna either let people know about it, or what's he going to say that is going to draw people in? And
see, that's the argument his people would make. His people would make the argument, I mean, anywhere from 70 to 75% of Americans, when they've been asked this question for the last year, have said they do not want a Trump-Biden election. But his people say it's because of that, that if he had run as an independent, it'd be even harder to get media now than it is as a Democrat. Oh, yeah. Because of the threat he would represent as an independent. Right? Remember, what made Ross Perot in 30 years ago? Two things happened with Ross Perot. Larry King Live. All right, that was the biggest cable news show until the birth of Fox News and its first real breakout show, The O'Reilly Factor. Larry King Live was the biggest cable news show, and Larry King freaking loved Ross Perot and had him on constantly. That was number one. All that earned media, and then after that built a certain base of support. Perot, people forget this. Perot started buying huge blocks of time on network television for infomercials. All right, with charts and everything else that he paid for out of his, out of his own pocket. Those two things are what made Ross Perot, that helped him penetrate down into the groundwater where the average person lives. The RFK people will tell you, having spoken to a couple of them off the record, they will tell you that if he had run as an independent from the beginning, it's because the public is clamoring for an independent option to Trump and Biden. There would have been a total and complete media freeze out. He would have gotten no coverage at all. And he doesn't have the Ross Perot level wealth to buy his way in. And so the only path for his message to really get out, they thought, was to run as a Democrat. That's what they'll tell you.
Well, this is all the more amazing to me. Let's set aside Perot. Go back to, Steve, you're six, I'm seven, maybe. 1980.
John Anderson?
John Anderson.
Yeah.
John Anderson was like a blip.
So
but
people,
he was
let me give you the history on this. People don't know who John Anderson was. John Anderson was a very liberal Republican congressman from Illinois that was set up to run third party against Reagan with the purpose of delivering the presidency to Jimmy Carter. He was meant to try and take enough votes away from Reagan from the moderate Ford wing, the country club Republican wing of the party, in order for Reagan not to win. He viewed Reagan as too right wing, and he ran specifically to challenge that.
But my point about bringing him up, I don't remember him because I am an adult who studied the nuances of night. I remember him because I was a kid sitting around with my parents when they're watching politics, and he was part of the daily news. Mm-hmm. I just remember that.
Because that fit their narrative.
But
Reagan
all,
was too right-wing, and here's this Republican running against Reagan to tell us what we want to hear.
That's John Anderson. This guy's a freaking Kennedy. He's mm-hmm. from Camelot. Mm-hmm. He can't break through.
Mm-hmm. because he doesn't support their narrative. And that's their, that's his people's argument for why he couldn't run as an independent, because they wouldn't cover him at all. He barely generates coverage now. Like, they still have to put him on WMUR in New Hampshire, you know, because he's technically a candidate. They have to follow that protocol, right? Because he's technically a Democratic candidate. If he was running as an independent, his people will tell you he would have gotten nothing. Nothing, because he would so violate every narrative and would actually therefore be an attractive option to the people that they would not have permitted him any traction. That's what they'll tell you. And they might be right about that, the more I think about it.
No matter how much you hate the media, you don't hate them enough.
Preach.
Matt Danheyer says, Gavin Newsom won't run for president in 2024. He's making a play to be Secretary of State or some other cabinet position.
I'm going to sell... Yeah. I don't know what cabinet position he wants or if he does want one. And I think when we're dealing, we've got two guys here pushing 80 or in their 80s. And one of them is in clear, demonstrative declining health. Where at any point in time, if you woke up tomorrow and were told that Joe Biden had a fall and he can't resume his duties as president, would you be shocked?
No.
No. The other guy is trying to dodge 91 felony indictments. I just think making wide sweeping generalizations about what's going to be happening on the ground in this presidential election 12 months from now is probably not a good bet, period, given the amount of variables, whether it's the minefield that Trump is trying to navigate and whether it's the battlefield of the mind that is of the declining Joe Biden. I would not be out there making 12 month prognostications, man. I'd be acting like so yesterday. Local weather was adamant. It was going to be like 87 degrees. All right. Now, it's been so nice and cool here. All the windows and stuff have been open in the house. So I got up in the morning, you know, closed all the windows. All right. It's going to be 82, 83. Not going to be that warm. It's going to be like 87. You know, it's a little hot in the house. All right. So I'll close all the windows. We'll turn the air on for a day. It didn't get anything close to 87 degrees yesterday. Why do I bring that up? I would be approaching this presidential election, man, like the weather forecast. Okay. There are so many variables where the two perceived frontrunners are concerned. Things that are beyond their control. Donald Trump is in no control of the lawfare process. The enemy is. Joe Biden is in no control of his mental faculties. That's just the natural state of life. And I just think because of that, think if we were outside of politics, let's remove that we're having this discussion in politics. If you had a family member facing 91 felony indictments, would you be making a lot of long-term plans with that person? Like, could you call them up on the phone on a Saturday and say, hey, you know, we're going to fantasy camp next year, spring training with our favorite team. You want to come? Well, I don't know that I'm not going to be in prison. Yeah, I don't know. Like, when you need a deposit. You know, I mean, you wouldn't be booking a long-term venue with somebody facing 91 felony accounts, right?
That's going to be all of us soon, by the way.
Yeah, probably. You might be right. On the other hand, if you had someone with the clear in your family with the clear cognitive decline as Uncle Joe, you'd be like moving up wedding dates to make sure he could come there. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You'd be like, you know, having events earlier. You wouldn't be like putting them off. You'd be trying to have them now so that you knew for sure old Uncle Joe would be able to be there and be in the pictures and have those memories forever.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that we are just talking about stuff that's going to happen 9, 6, 12 months from now with guys with at the age and the issues these two men have, I just think that's unwise in general.
Correct.
Next up, we go to Jason Roland. Steve should apply his theory of his actions affecting the Detroit Lions to GOP primaries and go complete opposite George to lead DeSantis to the nomination.
That's funny. I like it. I'm going to buy it. I think it's very funny and snotty, and I really appreciate both of those character qualities, so I'll buy it.
You're unemployed, and you live with your parents.
That's right. What are you doing tonight?
Yeah.
Yes.
Who
indeed.
Are you?
Yes.
Ken Height says, instant replay in every sport should be limited to one view per unique camera angle, and those views should only be played at actual speed, no slow-mo. If it's not obvious enough to see with the naked eye, it's not worth reviewing and disrupting the game.
There's a lot of truth in there.
Your answer shocks me. All right, keep going.
No, I mean, just in terms of it's the pointlessness of super slow-mo, like for the baseball on, you know, a really close play is at first they're called whackers, like, you know, like bang bang, like it, the merits of finding out for sure if that person was safe or out, it's utterly stupid. The same with a one-toe catcher. He's bringing sanity to a process that, again, all the science, the technology, we got to have it. Supposedly, it was our utopian notion. It's going to make things better. It's made us dumber and more pathetic. They were just talking about it recently after. What was it, the Iowa or the Iowa State game where there was a field goal that was controversial because it was above the uprights?
Yeah, and so was it good or not? Yeah.
Was it good or not? And the amount of time. Which game was it, Aaron? Do we know?
It was the Iowa State game.
Okay, it's the Iowa State. Okay, so that game is fraught with issues that, you know, you got to get way deep into the list to be complaining about that when you just lost to Ohio. But sports radio, of course, but like, if we've got the technology, they're literally talking about we need lasers. We need, like, you guys, you're so pathetic. You're so pathetic. And this points to it. Are we better off knowing in super the game? The game is awesome because it happens at the speed of life, right? What does super slow-mo have to do with the actual game? The answer is actually nothing. So he has some very salient points that he brings up.
I agree, they're salient points. I'm going to sell, though, not that I disagree. I think I can narrow it down even more. Having been to the College World Series the last few years and a Major League Baseball game just a month ago. Now, be still your beating heart. I said last hour, if you would have told me I was going to debate whether RFK Jr. or Donald Trump was more pro-life 3 months ago, I'd have said you're insane. Okay? I can't believe I'm going to say this, all right? But whatever baseball is doing with instant replay is what every sport should do. For whatever reason, they go in, they look, and it's done. And it's over. You don't even realize it. It's so fast how they look, how they've got it set up and everything else. It's been a minute, you know, probably since I was still buying baseball cards, okay, that I said other sports should emulate in terms of being on the cutting edge, what baseball is doing, all right? But being in the stands on a 90-degree day, and when Michigan was in the College World Series a few years ago, I think that was 2019, and there were numerous replays, and just how quickly those were done. And then being at Progressive Field a month ago in Cleveland, for that doubleheader against the Tigers and seeing how quickly those were done. However baseball is doing it and whatever their methodology for doing it is, every sport should follow suit.
Well, my pat answer would have been, no, of course, I don't want any instant replay at all in either case. But this brings up the point that it's just whatever the technology is, we want it. It must make it better. It doesn't matter if there's proof anymore. He brings up a great point. Most people would disagree with him. Well, if super slow-mo gives us the right answer, we must have the right answer.
But the game is not played at super slow-mo.
But these people can. They are theologians on this front. This is too many. How many angels are dancing on the head of a pin?
That's very well said.
That's who these people, sports bros, are on this. Yep. This is their God. And I laugh at them.
Next, we go to Bruce Logan. The new Disney Plus Ahsoka series has the potential to not only completely revitalize the Star Wars franchise, but it could possibly take the franchise to a whole new level, especially after the Dave Filoni directed Episode 5, which was fire. I got a lot of these types of submissions this week.
So I've not seen any of it yet, so I have to sell because I want you to be right, but I've not seen any of it yet. And I probably won't get to it till after football season. Between what my daily duties with the show and other stuff involved in, particularly with an Iowa caucus happening, and whatever limited free time I have right now is pretty much devoted to football season. So I probably won't get to it probably till we're home for like that long Christmas break is when I will finally get a chance to watch Ahsoka. So I want you to be true and to be accurate, but because I haven't seen it yet, I have to sell.
I actually want him to be wrong. Because we don't have time for this in this culture, quite frankly. We haven't earned the right to be distracted like this. I don't know why, and Aaron, maybe you would know, but I am, maybe it's because I subscribe to ESPN Plus, and that's part of the family. But like, because your advertising that you get on Facebook and stuff is indicated by what you.
Yeah.
But I don't watch this stuff. But I am getting spammed with these ads.
Interesting.
These man boys are writing sonnets about this episode 5 because it brought Anakin back, and maybe it's fantastic and well done. But I mean, guys, we don't have time. I mean, this is not supposed to be your life. And you guys have, they're going into these incredibly deep dives about how this is like, this is Shakespeare. And all you have to understand what this means. Term papers. Guys, look around you. I am that guy now, and I can't help it, but honestly, this can't be our main meal. And it's just abundantly clear that this is your main meal. And it's very disconcerting. It's an idol like anything else, no matter how damn good it was. That's why it was actually kind of, when it was getting bad, it was actually like maybe people will give up on it and move to something meatier. But I don't know.
All right, before we move on, we'll do some rapid fire to close it out. A word from our friends over at Bonner Private Wines. I think Todd needs a drink about right now.
Fair.
Yes. Check out Bonner Private Wines, Sunai Elagico Malbec. It's a never-before-imported gem from deep in the Calaqui Valley of Argentina. That's a vineyard at a breathtaking altitude of almost 9,000 feet. It's the third highest vineyard in the world. The Sunai Elagico is highly rated. At 91 points, there's no fining or filtration done when it's being produced. That preserves its true natural taste. It boasts a staggering 10 times more resveratrol levels. That's good for your heart. And it's also got 93% less sugar than the bulk stuff you're going to buy, the bulk wines you're going to buy at the grocery stores. Bonner Private Wines is the sole importer of this amazing Malbec. If you want to take advantage of it right now, act fast. Go to BonnerPrivateWines.com/Steve, and you'll not only get this, but other wines for over 50% off and free shipping. That's right, imported wines with free shipping. You can't beat it. At BonnerPrivateWines.com, B-O-N-N-E-R, BonnerPrivateWines.com is where you want to go. BonnerPrivateWines.com.
Next, we go to Sticky Bandit, who says, fewer than 15 different schools will win the next 50 national championships in college football. There's not going to be 50.
50?
You don't think there's going to be 50 national championships?
Nope.
No?
I don't think we'll last that long.
Oh, you mean as a country?
Yeah.
Okay, if we're going to sell on those grounds, then I'll sell.
15? That's a really good number to place it at. Yeah, I'll say you're probably right.
As a country and as a sport.
Yeah.
So, Sojourner says, best case scenario is we're in the end of times. Worst case scenario is Romans 1.
Agreed. Absolute buy. Yep.
Sure.
Bama Conservative says, if Trump were to say he'll make both sides happy when it comes to the Second Amendment, it cost him more votes than what he said about abortion, sadly.
I don't know that that's true.
I don't know that.
They're basically the same constituency. Yeah. I mean, one of the things I learned from political organizing from the best people at it, the Ron Paul people, they taught me everything I know about it, is they, regardless of what the issue was, every state or every district they went into, they immediately looked for the Second Amendment and pro-life people, and they organized them first. Even if it was an economic issue, right to work, they want to defeat a tax referendum. Didn't matter what the issue was. Any state they went into in the country, any district they went into in the country, they always polled to find out who are the pro-life and Second Amendment voters. They're basically the same voter almost every time, and they are always the first to show up for every battle right of center, no matter what the issue is. So it took a minute, but there's been quite a bit of condemnation of Donald Trump on the right about these comments, quite a bit. I just saw our old buddy Dan Bongino. I didn't even know about this. I have not seen a post of Dan's in weeks. I've not had this problem with Twitter since Elon took over. There are weeks that go by I don't see posts from people I follow. Aaron, you told me yesterday as we were walking out of here.
Yeah, I was really encouraged.
Yeah, I did not know that he went after Trump on his life comments. Trump is getting a lot of rebuke from this. A lot.
And to be fair to Dan, I mean, he listed the reasons why he's still supporting Trump, but it wasn't This is the type of like grown-up conversation that we should like hope for in a primary.
Yep.
And he did that. So hats off to him.
Probably said a lot of the same things that I will say next year if he's the nominee, would be my guess. But I think Trump's getting hammered for this actually pretty good, as a matter of fact. You know, so, and you can tell how often does he issue these kinds of in-depth clarifications on issues to his base? Not very often. And it really wasn't much of a clarification. I think in his mind it was, but as Aaron, you put it, it was really a doubling down. Yeah.
Next, Ben Wisdom says that Hideous Strength by C.S. Lewis should be a book to study for Theology Thursday.
It's interesting.
Not sure if legally we can do that. I don't know.
I don't know. That is one I am not familiar with. I've heard of it. I'm not as familiar with it, though. So, but I'll take your suggestion.
I'm down with
I'll
the buy. C.S. Lewis book study any day.
Yeah.
Next, William Clock says, Notre Dame beats Ohio State this weekend. Sam Hartman is the best value for a buy for Heisman.
I will buy on both counts. Yeah. In fact, I would buy Sam. In fact, I'm going to do that when I get done with the show today. I would buy Sam Hartman for Heisman right now if you have not. Because if they win on Saturday night against Ohio State, the odds for him will just skyrocket through the roof. And if you look at the rest of Notre Dame's schedule the rest of the way, they get USC at home. They got to go to Clemson. But you know, if they beat Ohio State and USC and their only loss is on the road to Clemson and they're 11-1, they're going to be in the playoff. And if Notre Dame's going to be in the playoff, Sam Hartman at least is going to sit in New York City for the Heisman Trophy final, whether he may be even winning it. So I agree on both counts. I think Notre Dame is the better team at the line of scrimmage, and I think they have the better quarterback.
Yep.
John Evan Coe says, sermons that start with personal stories instead of Bible verses should always be met with skepticism.
Sell.
I'm going to sell. It should be a buy. But the epistemological era in which we live, I don't like it. It's not how I roll. But there's a reason why I mention I was born to a 15-year-old mom all the time. Because an emotional connection is required nowadays for people to hear truth. It's sad. That's not the case. That's not the way it's supposed to work. But, you know, if I lived in the time of the judges, could I fix that era? I had to accept that era for
sure.
You have to accept the era and you live in for which it is. The era in which we live, if you cannot establish an emotional connection with people, they won't let you communicate truth to them. So I will sell on this.
Agreed.
All right, we'll come back. Speaking of emotional connections, they're not always good. The Weekly Prophet of Woe and Lamentation is coming up next. Stay tuned. All right, back here on the Steve Dace Show. Daniel Horowitz is brought to you by our friends over at Eden Pure. Just like Daniel comes in, man, and just purifies.
Is that what he does?
In his own way. No narrative is safe when Daniel Horowitz walks into a room. The same goes for strong odors from cooking, cigarette smoke, litter boxes, trash cans, even that stale mildew smell. No match for the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Because, see, that's the key. It's not that it's an air freshener. It actually purifies the air of the things in it, causing those terrible smells. And there's no costly filters to replace ever, either out of your own pocket or out of your own time. This is why it's an outstanding product. They've got thousands of five-star reviews. Several of them have come from this audience. Lots of you have written me with rave reviews for the Thunderstorm Eden Pure Air Purifier. And right now, you can get the three-pack for whole home protection for under $200 and free shipping. Shipping is free as well when you go to EdenPureDeals.com and use the discount code Steve. Discount code Steve at EdenPureDeals.com. Speaking of the aforementioned Daniel Horowitz, the prophet of woe and lamentation, joins us now here on the show. Daniel, good to see you. Let's get right to it. Last night, special election in New Hampshire. A state house district that the Republican governor there, John Sununu, won in the last election by 22 points. An unabashed Trump supporter was the nominee for the GOP in that district and lost by 12. Now, I don't know much about this candidate. There's some talk that he was adamant that prophets had told him that Trump actually won. Well, I've not had any prophets tell me that, but I do believe Trump actually won. But there you go. Nevertheless, that is a 34-point swing. 34-point swing loss in a statehouse district in New Hampshire. But polls have told us that if we retroactively label Barack Obama a homosexual crack addict that has a fondness for white meat, we're winning the black vote next year, you all. Your thoughts?
You know, Steve, we thought this was done with in November when all these people were just mourning that loss, but then they just went right back to it. I mean, look, you thought, and I thought to some extent, that it would be a very good year. I mean, kind of logical. When in history have you had that much existential crises going on, including the worst economy ever in terms of affordability, and the incumbent party to downright basically won? You take redistricting out of it, they won. They won that election. When has that ever happened? Yet this is the third election in a row where we created this inveterate electorate that you have, you know, 40-45% of the country is always going to remain solid red. But every single area you need to win, you're not only losing, but you're losing big, 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 big. Arizona, Michigan, Wisconsin, New Hampshire, those type of states, obviously the Atlanta suburbs. What it's demonstrating is that that same inveterate electorate that was created in 2018 and persisted the next two elections, even after Trump was gone and Biden was president, it's continuing. It's still there. The problem is still there. And I've been pointing this out for a few years by now. Special elections are often a harbinger. So typically when you have an unpopular incumbent in the White House, it's the other party winning all of the special elections, often even in enemy territory. So during Obama's midterm years, during Obama's presidency, Republicans won all of it. With Trump, we saw Democrats won in 2018. But then the problem is the Democrats kept their midterm out of power status in power. That's the problem. This is not the first time we've seen that. I mean, I've seen Republicans had like a plus 30 district in Wisconsin. They won it, but they underperformed by 20 points. They lost another seat in Virginia this year. There were a couple others that I've seen. So the point is, don't lie to me and say we're going to win by doing nothing. And what we have today is the lowest common denominator of the Trump establishment and the antiquated establishment. There's no message, and essentially, this is the paradigm we have now. And it ties into abortion, everything you're talking about, every issue this week, why we're losing. The choice is between Mitch McConnell. By the way, it was McConnell's people who called me a purist 10 years ago, so you weren't so far off. Prophet for purity. I haven't seen the prophet yet, but hopefully we get some purity. You know, I'm the only one without the prophet, but I digress. The point is, you either get McConnell types or you get Elise Stefanik types, which are essentially the same chamber crats, but
this is the game Nancy Mace is playing now. I'm pro-choice. Yeah, I go to gay Nancy pride Mace. Parades, but I go on Fox News and scream witch hunt, and suddenly I'm kosher. The rhinos have learned this is the new game to play. Yeah, it used to be go to the Cokes and with a handout. It used to be go to the Chamber of Commerce with a handout. It now is go on Fox News, scream witch hunt, and you can betray the Republican base six ways and twice on Sundays, yes.
Or getting back to New Hampshire, and I know this is going to be the most controversial of my three assertions. The other paradigm we now have is white trash. So, or essentially telling the voters we are white trash, whether you are or not. It's taking every damn stereotype that the left throws at us and embracing, like, hey, let's accentuate it. No problem. So it runs the gambit depending on who you're talking about. We're seeing these candidates where some of them might, unlike the two aforementioned, they might embrace our talking points, initiatives sometimes even, but often they can't be effective. They don't know how to be effective. They're contradictory. And even if they're not, sometimes it's worse than the other two because they introduce ideas to the party that needed to be introduced, must be introduced, but they take our gold and dip it into feces, and then we're stuck holding the bag. And this kind of ties into the whole abortion thing. You know, there's an under... I've been meaning to tell you this, Steve, and I didn't mean to hijack it, but it does tie very much into New Hampshire, because New Hampshire is clearly a state where abortion is hurting us. But why? An underappreciated factor is that you can't have a party full of people that live the lives of the contestants on Jerry Springer's show and then be like, you know, I really care about the babies. I don't want you guys getting abortions. It just reeks to swing voters. This one's screwing around with that one. This one has a concubine.
You can't do, you can't have both is what you're saying. Yeah.
Quietly forced to get abortions. You know, how many candidates are we on to that? This one's, you know, having some sort of white trash acting out in public in some sort of theater. This one's on their third marriage and all sorts of extracurricular activities. I mean, is it too much to ask for that we have kind of like Chip Roy type of people that, you know, you won't have issues with them and their authenticity bleeds out to the voters?
Apparently the answer to that question is yes. I'm glad you brought up the abortion topic, because I did this show for 10 years when I first got into this business, and it's all the same talking points all over again. Every Republican governor that signed a heartbeat bill won either comfortably, like Brian Kemp did, or dominantly, like Kim Reynolds did in the last cycle. Every Republican presidential candidate who has been soft on abortion lost the Catholic vote and lost the presidential election. Mitt Romney, John McCain. Every Republican that either had a strong life message or record, Reagan, George W. Bush, Trump saying I'm going to appoint the justices that overturn Roe, won the Catholic vote and won the presidential election. I have no idea what he's talking about. I'm not sure he does. The guy goes through pollsters the way the border goes through fentanyl. So you don't stay hooked into Mar-a-Lago there by not telling Peter Pan what he wants to hear. So it is entirely possible that that Laura Loomer and Roger Stone and whoever else is down there right now has convinced him that Republicans underperformed in this election, not because his brand is mud with independent voters. And by the way, the broader Republican brand is mud. All right. They have different, there's different reasons independents don't like Trump and McConnell, but they don't like him the same, just the same. And so no message from the Surrender Caucus in D.C., the damage of the Trump brand. That's what happened in the last election. You lost independents for the third election in a row. And this one was really inexcusable, given how unpopular and radicalized the Democrats were. Should have won them by 5 points. You lost them by three. And that really was almost all these contested Senate and House races around the country. Almost all of them were 2 or 3 points, Daniel. Almost Carrie Lake, Blake Masters, 2 or 3 points. Almost all these elections were. Nevada, 2 or 3 points. Almost all of them were. And that was the difference. And so you don't stay plugged in at Mar-a-Lago by telling Trump those kinds of things. You stay plugged in by telling him you over-delivered for your base and these Christians are just not thankful enough. And you should go in there and treat them the way Rehoboam treated the tribes of Israel. Learn from him. That's great leadership. Smack him around and tell him who's boss. So he's doing the Rehoboam strategy. Okay. But the reality is it's just not even true. I don't know if he doesn't know it's true. So if it's as untrue as what Merrick Garland said today, that we don't have a two-tiered form of justice. Now, I know Merrick Garland is wantonly lying to me. I don't know that Trump is. It is entirely possible, if you understand how he manages himself politically and the people around him, that he's only being fed this kind of information because that's all he will allow himself to ingest.
I agree with everything you said, Steve, but I have a little bit of a different take I want to give to your audience on this entire issue. It's about more than abortion, and it's about more than Trump, and it harkens back to every Republican we've been experiencing our whole lifetime on a litany of issues, by the way. It's the same modus operandi. So every issue is potentially a winning issue and a losing issue, right? I mean, let's take crime. Crime is a big winning issue for our side. But if you want to obsess about and accentuate, oh, I found a guy that, you know, was just caught with some weed and he was locked up for 50 years, you know, the straw man, and each side will try to straw man, you got to power through that and give a convincing argument. The border is a supermajority issue for us now, but if you isolate, well, do you think that someone who was here for 50 years and you know, has 10 patents and, you know, is more American than you, should we bring him back? every issue is like that. That's the ebb and flow of every issue. And abortion certainly has those extremes, the middle ground. You accentuate the other side's extreme. You don't focus on yours. And that's how you win. But what happens is, this is not just about abortion. You have to listen to those other clips from Trump with that Meet the Press interview, the Megyn Kelly interview. You need to sit down. Your listeners need to sit down and listen to Trump's interviews. Don't watch his prepared comments at rallies or those videos. If you want to see the Trump, not of the campaign, but of governance, which is the one that matters, it comes out in an interview. Why? Because a Democrat, you know, operative disguised as a journalist confronts him with something. His first intuition with adversity is to throw it off the ship. It's not, people think it's because he's really a social liberal. That could be true, but it's not just that issue. Even on immigration, which is the other end of the spectrum, right? This kind of like gay nationalism, fake new godless right that they're, you know, oh, we need to move away from those issues, but they'll be very into, you know, being tough on immigration, things like that. Well, even there, someone said, I think it was the same reporter, it was a Meet the Press interview. Hey, you know, you talked about bringing the military down there and shooting the cartels.
Yeah, same interview. That. Same interview. You said I never said that.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Why say you didn't embrace that? Talk about all the people it's killing and the cartels. Embrace that. Birthright citizenship. He's like, I'm going to do it. And then Megyn Kelly said, why don't you do it? The lawyers told me it's going to be problems. The people said, you know, the smart people say, I hear from people.
Is that his version of Joe Biden's? They told me I couldn't talk about this. They told me I couldn't call on you. They told me not to answer your question. They told me not to take any questions. Is that his version of it?
To his credit, Trump is actually very prima facie, very honest in interviews because there's no time to react. And he'll tell you what he thinks. And I think a lot of our people find that endearing, and it is. But it's also very revealing while being endearing. And it's also revealing when we don't need to speculate what that portends for a second term. It's a reflection of what we lived. Even when he deep down wants something, he doesn't have the intellectual fortitude and the true intrepid belief behind it to power through a narrative. Oh, ventilators, people dying. All right, here it goes. Whatever. Oh, a shutdown. Remember he said with a budget fight or the debt ceiling fight. Yeah, I don't care. He was asked, well, why when you were president did you raise it three times without even asking for a single dollar cut in exchange? Mm-hmm. And he was like, well, I was president then. You know, I don't want to risk that. And that's the problem. So too much of our base conflates you're fat, you're ugly with a man that will hold his ground and won't back down. But that's as it relates for the tit for tat on a personal level, because that's his natural habitat. So he'll fight for that. But when it comes to issues, he will throw it overboard. And he's telling you that right now. We've been dealing with that our entire life. And one more comment on abortion. Trump is the embodiment of what he is talking about with a losing political issue on abortion. It's exactly what I mean. When you go take a steak, chew on it, throw up on it, piss on it, and then, you know, put it on the table and say, go eat it. With people like him as the face of our movement,
it becomes
yes,
a loser.
Abortion,
yeah, I hear what you're saying. Yeah.
Abortion will be a losing issue.
Yeah.
Yes, it will be. Because it's a little bit hard to convince swing voters that we genuinely care about virtue and life and whole life and care about you versus just cheap political points, because how many concubines are we on?
Yeesh, yikes. Well, there was some woe and lamentation at the end there for sure. Thank you, Daniel.
Happy to deliver.
Yeah. And that probably hurt our ability to profit today. Right. It's Todd and Aaron, your thoughts. We got about a minute and a half here before we sign off.
Again, remarkable that all of us can just kind of shrug our shoulders about what Daniel just said is, yeah, that's probably true in terms of abortion becoming a looser because of Trump. Immediately saying that in the shadow of the overturning of Roe v. Wade. I mean, this is the issue, right, that brings the religious right to the table as a political force.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, apparently, it's also the thing that's going to, what, kill it, too? Just unbelievable.
I'm listening to Daniel over here, and I'm doing the Kylo Ren, more. It's just ass-ackwards. OK, Okay. I posted over the weekend, once upon a time, there was a football team whose starting star quarterback decided in the middle of the game to amputate his arm, his throwing arm, under the theory that it would make the defense like him more and stop sacking him. That team went on to lose 666 to nothing. He threw no completions because he didn't throw any passes at all because he didn't have an arm. And the defense sacked him on every single down. Guys, this was Donald Trump's biggest flex. It was. And he's trying to get rid of it to make the opposition like him. It just makes no sense at all.
And that's how I started the show, Aaron. I agree. It doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't. We'll stick around. We've got bonus buy, sell, or hold in overtime. For the rest of you, we'll see you tomorrow, noon to 2 Eastern, after Glenn Beck. Until then, John 3:17.